Welcome to Her Leading Story, a podcast that will inspire you with stories from amazing female leaders and give you some ideas to help you design a life and a career that's perfect for you. It's totally doable, and the good news is that you'll have me and our community of leading women by your side every single step of the way. Let's get started. I'm your host, Julie Artis, and this is Her Leading Story. Welcome back to Her Leading Story. I'm so grateful and excited that you're here, and especially so because this week we are doing something new. This is a recording of a coaching session with one of my clients that is anonymously recorded. So you are going to get a peek behind the scenes as you hear me support this client prepare for her very first managerial position, her fears, her excitement, and the uncertainty that it brings up for her, and then some of the different strategies and mindset shifts that we discuss in order to really allow her to step into this new role with a lot of confidence. This episode mirrors the kind of personalized coaching you would experience in a Voice Your Value call. In these free calls with me, you'll be able to share some of your challenges, what you're going through at your current career right now, and what you're really looking for, what you want to change. And as we talk, I'll support you with different kinds of ideas, mindset shifts, things to consider, and you'll leave that call with more clarity and confidence just having talked through it with someone outside of your own brain. For my overthinkers, I know you're out there. If you're interested, go to voiceyourvaluecall.com and sign up for a spot on my calendar. I cannot wait to support you. If you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes in coaching, or more specifically, how I work, you're in luck. So I hope you enjoy. Let's get to it. Tell me a little bit about what you want to work on today. Sure. And maybe a little bit of background too.
And so the title is Director of Academic Support Services, and it's at a city college in so it's always been a dream of mine to work for city colleges, as I really support the mission and the work that they do for students, and the futures that students have when they go through the program is really amazing. So I'm really happy to be a part of the system. But the issues I would like to talk through with you is this is my first administrative role. So I'm moving more from student support to managing people and designing programs, which I've done a little bit before at the high school level, but I just feel intimidated by it a tad, and just, you know, a different work landscape and just starting something new. I'm still within the system because my previous job that I've had is still within city colleges, but kind of changing focus of different job family and being new and just feeling.
Yeah. Change. Listen, it's a big change. And I want to normalize for you that it makes total sense that you're a little trepidatious, nervous, worried about how things are going to go, especially because you're doing one of the bigger shifts that happens at mid-career, which is right from going from, you know, more of a working on your own kind of position to one where you're actually managing people. Mm-hmm. And it can be a really rewarding job. It can also bring up a lot of different skill sets for you, right? That you're going to develop along the way. And so I think it totally makes sense that you're nervous. What in particular, like if you think about next week, because you start on Monday, right?
Mm-hmm. Monday, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. If you think forward to next week, like what feelings come up and what are they about?
I think mostly it's feeling like I want to come in knowing more than I do, because I still don't really have a sense of what my day-to-day is going to look like, or really how many people I'm going to be managing, and kind of I have an overall idea, but I have a lot of unanswered questions, which I know that's normal, but it's just like I don't 100% know, you know, what exactly I'm getting into. And
yeah,
it's hard for me to just be calm about, you know, it's okay to figure it out as you go. So the feeling of wanting more that I know about going into this, mm-hmm. that it's just kind of a sea of unknown right now. Yeah. So that's a main thing that's hanging over me.
Yeah. And is that a typical sort of reaction for you generally in situations where you're walking into something and you don't know, like, all of the players and stuff? I mean, is that normal for you?
I mean, I think it's amplified here because the last couple of positions that I've had, I think they weren't, I don't know, I don't want to say they were lower stakes, but this I feel like is, oh my God, this is a really important job for me and on my career path and, you know, can really do big things for me in the future if I do it well. That's how I feel.
Yeah.
So I feel like the stakes are higher to be on and work really hard and have answers and, you know, do really cool things for the program. So it's, yes, I do. I definitely have that, but this is just like really amplified right now.
Right. Right. But also understand that a lot of it is, so yes, it is tricky because it's unknown and it's a new kind of role for you. But you're also, just what I'm hearing is that you're putting out awful lot of pressure on yourself to go in, mm-hmm. to perform, mm-hmm. to have all the answers, mm-hmm. to know how to do things. Mm-hmm. And does that feel true to you? I guess it's like, sort of given who I know you are, like, it's that sort of internal pressure that you have on yourself is, again, normal. And what I think we could work on today is a little bit of how to have you go into this first week with maybe more confidence, maybe being a little bit more open about the uncertainty, like sort of flipping it so that it's not like you're the one that has to perform, but maybe more you're the student. This mm-hmm. first week, you're like, what? Yeah. Say more. Yeah. Okay. So it's one of the things that I think is super important when stepping into a leadership role is that you write down questions that you have. Like, you have factual questions, like how many people, mm-hmm. right? Who does this? Who does that? And even over this weekend, mm-hmm. even if you just came in with 10 questions that you were hoping to get answered the first day, mm-hmm. you know, I think you'd feel really prepared, right? Mm-hmm. Because it doesn't sound like these things were part of the interview process, mm-hmm. as I understand it, and that you didn't have a chance to kind of find out a lot about the department you'd be heading or how many people or anything like that. And, you know, it's not super uncommon because you're doing, you know, an internal to a mm-hmm. institution transfer mm-hmm. over, that they wouldn't make time to like have you go over all that. So mm-hmm. it's not like that it's their fault from the interview process. It's not what I mean. I just think mm-hmm. it's one of those things where as a new leader, you aren't really expected to know all of the tiny little details. And in fact, you might kind of want to adopt this mindset of curiosity and asking lots of questions, I think, in this first mm-hmm. week or two. And so maybe one of the things that you could do is like just make sure that as you reflect on your first, you know, your days after the first week, like, what additional questions do I have? Can I write them down? Who can I get the answer from? And just mm-hmm. like, just be a student of the new job.
Yeah.
How does that land for you?
Yeah, no, that's at first, I think when you were talking through that, my initial feeling is I don't want it to seem like I have a million questions, even though I know that that's so good to have questions, because that's what we tell students is ask questions. Right. That's our own,
yeah.
You know, that's how you learn is.
Oh, right.
But so initially I'm like, I don't want it to seem like I do, but I know how important that is. And I can imagine that it just looks, it's good practice for this.
I think it'll do two things, right? So it's not like you're asking irrelevant questions. You wouldn't. I know you, that's just not something you, right? It's not like that. But like, you want to come in and ask questions that you will need to know mm-hmm. as the leader. Mm-hmm. You're not expected to know this ahead of time. Mm-hmm. And so it'll actually make you look more open mm-hmm. and like curious and caring mm-hmm. and like really wanting to do the job well, if you're asking serious, authentic, honest questions. And if you ever feel like, oh, I'm asking too many questions, you could even frame it in a way of saying, it's really important for me to do as well as I can in this first month. And I just really need to know X, you know? Mm-hmm. So you can even frame the questions by like, you know, if I'm going to do this job well, or if I want to get to know my staff well, or if I want to understand who I should be talking to as the leader of this unit, I need to know this, 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 and this. You can present yourself as like confident that mm-hmm. you know that you want to be a good leader and that you mm-hmm. need information for it. Mm-hmm. And you know as well as I do that there's probably written information somewhere, but that that's mm-hmm. not going to get you what you need. Mm-hmm. You know, like you're going to really need to have conversations with people. Mm-hmm. And that leads me to my next one, which is, you know, a lot, you should be able to find out just by talking to your boss. Mm-hmm. And I would immediately like just take a notepad in and like, what will make me successful in this role? Give it to me. You know what I mean? That kind of thing. And see what you can glean from that. I really, you know, I see two things and it's hard to strike the right balance. One is somebody who comes in and just observes and waits around for a while, does kind of a tour, a listening tour before, you know, forever and ever before doing anything. And then on the other end of the spectrum, you have somebody who comes in with their own agenda and shakes things up from the beginning. Yeah. And so like, I encourage you to think of this as like trying to be somebody in the middle where yeah. you're going to be listening and taking maybe some small actions.
Right.
So that you're kind of like seen as somebody who can listen and do things. Does that good. Make sense?
Yeah, that's really good. Yeah. And I think the key to me from what I'm hearing is taking small actions. Cause I think another part of me is I want to do big things. That's how I feel. Like I want, not that I want to, I definitely am not the let's come and shake it up person. That is not my personality at all. But
yeah.
I see opportunity in this role to do really cool things. And I feel like, again, the pressure on me to do them right away. And it's okay to, yeah, like you said, listen and do small things gradually until, you know, things come up,
yes.
come about when I learn more.
Also, think about it this way from a higher ed perspective. You're also starting basically in the middle of the yeah. academic year.
Yeah.
So let's actually treat that as a plus mm-hmm. because in my experience in higher ed, people get tired in the spring mm-hmm. and it's like fall when the new initiatives like with the energy and the back to school yes. and all of that
yes.
Come up. And so yeah. maybe if you're thinking about, you know, wanting to do something that's like a big change, is that thinking about that change happening more kicking off in the fall.
Yeah.
And until then, you're like the student. What is the number one impact? Like what impact could I make in the fall? What should it be? Right. Mm-hmm. And you won't know until you get in the mix because mm-hmm. there's going to be a lot of different stakeholders. They're going to mm-hmm. want you to do this and do that and then and write reports, mm-hmm. manage people and all that. Right. Yeah. So there's because with, you know, there's going to be the people part of it and then there's going to be the like sort of visioning part of it. And I think those both have to go together.
Yeah.
But you need some time to settle in.
Right.
But I mean, do I think you should keep like a Google Doc or a notes app thing mm-hmm. like of your big ideas? Yes, I do. Mm-hmm. But like, it sounds like you're feeling a little bit of pressure, like out of the gate mm-hmm. to do a big thing.
Mm-hmm. Right. And that
yeah.
isn't realistic, but yes. But I like that.
Yeah. And I do
timeline too. Yeah.
The timeline. Yeah. I would think about the timeline and also just it's like collecting information, like mm-hmm. be the detective, be curious, not just with your boss and the other stakeholders sort of above you, but also, you know, your peers and other units and also the people that work for you. What are they? What are their big stressors? What, you know, what do they struggle with the most? What do they see as something that could be done better? Like, these are all questions that people love to talk about things yeah. like that. So the yeah. more conversations that you can have like that, I think the better, and just be really open to listening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great. put my listening ears on next week.
Yes, definitely put your listening ears. Definitely have a notebook to take notes. But I also think, I know we're joking about being a student, but I also think this is an opportunity for you to step into like kind of what it might feel like for you to embody a leadership role. Mm-hmm. And I wonder how that's feeling for you mm-hmm. if you think about next week.
You're saying, how do I feel about embodying the leadership role?
The confidence and like going in, because if you are curious, like we're joking about you being a student and being curious and all of that. But I also, it's not like being a student in a certain way,
right?
It's about coming in and having confidence.
Right.
And I know that's with the uncertainty, sometimes it can be hard to get there.
Right. Yeah. I think personally for me, I do feel like I have inner confidence in there.
Yeah.
I know that it's in there, and I know, you know, for what people have told me in the past, you know, that it's good. I'm lucky that I can tap into that. But yeah, I think I'm still, the confidence is just a little, it's because I don't know, you know, what it's going to be like. It feels not as high as maybe it will be right now.
What kind of things do you think need to be in place for you to really own that confidence?
Yeah, I think, I don't, that's a good question. I think maybe starting off on the right foot and feeling I'm like kind of saying things, doing things of what you said, of asking people questions and getting to know the culture and learning. And but I think also too, doing things, even if they're small, that like my staff, like if they have problems, like being able to help them and having answers for them. And yeah, they might not come right away, but being able to troubleshoot and do things for them, that would help me be more confident too.
But
that's, I don't know how to do that yet. So.
Right. And so it's like sort of this circular thing where with each little piece of information that you gather, I mean, that's why I brought up the leadership and the confidence, is because as you're listening and you're like the squirrel who's gathering all the nuts, right? And like you're getting all the little pieces of information that you might need, who you might need to call if there's an HR issue, you know, like that kind of thing. And then you can squirrel those away. And the more that you have those acorns or whatever, the more you'll feel like you can help people. But I also want you to go in even on Monday with a sense of internal confidence. So what makes you, when you applied for this job, I mean, and we sort of talked about this before, not on this call, but why did you want to do this job?
Right. I mean, so because it's academic support during related, that's really my wheelhouse. Done it before. I feel in a certain way, the confidence stems from that because I've tutored everything in the past. And I feel like personally, I was really successful when I was in college. So I guess having that within me can inspire others to feel, you know, other students. And it just wasn't natural step up from what I'm doing now, you know, being a director of a program within City Colleges, it just felt like the right transition for me. So those kind of those two pieces were the reason why I put my name in the ring.
So I think before you're able to gather all the information about every single little thing that you need to know, one of the ways that you can really tap into the confidence is just to remember that you have the experience that you have with tutoring. Like you have that. You've, you know, worked in an educational setting, that thing. This is just maybe a little bit on a broader scale, the first. And the second, I think, is based on my, you know, conversation with you before we started recording, is that you also were looking for a challenge.
Yes, looking for a challenge, exactly.
Because you get a little stuck if you don't have something new, right? Now, this can play in your favor. Yeah. So, like, own that this is like, it's going to be maybe a little uncomfortable sometimes because you are going to be growing and learning new stuff and it's going to feel overwhelming. But like that is also going to feel exciting to you because that's the kind of person you are.
That's exactly a big piece of it. I mean, currently what I'm doing now is just very routine.
Yeah.
And not, I'm not using my full potential. So this is that opportunity to do more and be more creative. And I feel like it gives me the opportunity where I can potentially grow. So that's really important to me. But it's also scary too.
It is. It totally is. It totally is. But it's like when you get really scared, like this is what you can go back to. Like, what's your touchstone when you start to freak out, right? Yeah. Because it's inevitable that like something's going to happen and you're going to be like, what?
Yeah.
What do I do? What just happened? Like, just remember you wanted this as a growth opportunity, right? That you know that you have the experience to handle it. Mm-hmm. And I think the third thing for you that is coming through loud and clear for me, both with this conversation and the one that we had before, is that working with students in the City College and helping them get to graduation is like super aligned with who you are and what you value. And so I guess my question for you is like, is it worth it to kind of go through a little bit of discomfort, maybe feel like you don't know like 100% of what's going on if you help even one student graduate?
Yes.
Yeah. And like tapping back into that when you're feeling a little overwhelmed by the work, which happens to all of us who take on any kind of leadership roles, I think is really, really important for you.
Yeah.
So that's the big picture.
Yes.
That's the big picture. The smaller picture is next week. Like, you know, you'll probably, you said you'd probably be with HR that first day and it's off to the races. Do you have any goals or have you thought about, other than just this general being a student and being curious and being like sort of confident and knowing that you can do this, like, have you thought about any loose kind of goals, even personal ones, like for yourself or ones for the unit or, I don't know, for the first week or the first, you know?
I mean, I think the first week, the very specific goal that I hope to be able to do and accomplish is just doing a one-on-one with the tutors and staff that I'm going to be supervising, just because I don't know if they even know that I'm coming. That's not clear yet to me.
Surprise! Yeah.
They've also, from what I've seen, and just my impression is that they haven't had a boss in a few months. So that is either could be good or bad of, oh no, there's someone here to make us do things, or appreciative of someone that's going to be supporting. And I do want to come in as, you know, my role is to support you and what you need.
Right.
And I want to make that, you know, known on our call, our initial meetings together. So that's a big goal of mine for next week.
I think that's super smart, super smart. And since you don't know the size, right, like you'll start with your boss and like the people that are immediate direct reports, maybe.
Yes. Yeah. So I'll see how many. Hoping it's a manageable number.
You might have to spread them over a couple weeks.
I'll spread them over a couple weeks. Exactly. Yeah. I do also know that they want to hire more people. So.
Wow.
So maybe it's not too big. It won't be too big if they need to get more people in. So it's a little comforting too. But yeah, that's another, I guess, discomfort with me. Not, I don't want to say discomfort, but managing people has its own positives and negatives. So that's something that I'm going to be working on and practicing and learning from too.
Yeah. I mean, my impression of you is that you have a lot of emotional intelligence. You're really personable and all of that. So I think that obviously will go a long way when you're thrust into a new situation and having to meet new people and you're going to like talk to them and everything like that. But you probably will encounter people that are either, I mean, I can imagine like, don't like change, threatened. How do you feeling about handling those kinds of things?
Yeah, that's It's hard for me.
Is it?
I mean, it's, I guess maybe, again, not having a lot of experience with this. I mean, I do a little bit in my current, I don't know how to word it, but like dealing with problems with staff is like, if they're not, I think what I've experienced that I bring a little bit of trauma. I don't know the word is trauma, but you know, feeling yeah. about if they're not doing right by the students and doing their mm-hmm. job to a satisfactory level, and how do I work with them?
Yeah.
I really, it's hard for me to do that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And how to do it well, I guess. I do it, but how to do it well.
Well, I mean, some of it is just practice.
Yeah.
And having those kinds of conversations. Mm-hmm. But it's also like, don't expect that any of them will go perfectly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Or that you'll be able to, I mean, I've really had to give this up in my leadership role, was like, I could only like address the issue, state what I thought, you know, like kind of listen, try to appeal to like the larger goal, you know, and then try to come up with some sort of collaborative like, mm-hmm. plan, or is there some way I can help? Is there any resource you need? Like in a situation like this, where perhaps it's a tutor who might not be like sort of, is missing appointments or something like mm-hmm. that, right? And like your job isn't to, you can't control what they do other than having the conversation mm-hmm. and pointing out and offering resources. Mm-hmm. I used to think that like as a leader, if I went in and said ABC, that the people should, I'm mm-hmm. air quoting, just do what I said.
Right.
Which is very naive.
Yeah.
You know, like, because people have all, I mean, like humans are going to human. And I had to like get myself to a point where A, I knew this was going to be an uncomfortable conversation. Like it just is.
Yeah.
But it was my job to have the conversation and to do it as well as I could to say like sort of the larger goals of the unit and like why I thought it was important and can I help you and all of that. And then I mean, of course, I would email and document it and, you know, follow up and see if I could support and all of that. But I ultimately had zero control over what they did other than having the conversation.
Right. Right.
And so one trap I think you can fall into as a new leader is like feeling bad that they're not following your exact directions. Right. So just like, it sounds like you've had some experience with this, and I would just give yourself a lot of grace for having the courage to go in and have the conversation and know that you're doing the work that you can do. And that's all you can, I mean, none of us can control what anybody else does. I mean, mm-hmm. other people don't like to hear that, but you know, like it's mm-hmm. true, right? Like we ultimately mm-hmm. only have control over ourselves. Mm-hmm. And so as a leader, I think one thing that kept me from being super stressed and like hard on myself was like letting go of that sort of ideal that people would just
change.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think now that I'm kind of sitting here and thinking about it, I think another piece too, personally for me, is the expectations of myself to do, you know, everything that I can do. I really want that in people too, so they can mm-hmm. ultimately represent us and work with the suit, you know.
Yeah.
Do the right thing. So I think that maybe that's a little bit of it too, without me being aware of it before.
So do you mean like the expectations that you have for yourself, you're also putting on your coworkers or colleagues sometimes?
Maybe. Yeah.
Oh, I did that too. So it is good to be, yes. Because I'm like, what? Like, you know, doesn't everybody think it like this? And it's true. Yeah. People come at it from very different points of view. So I think it's really important that you've noticed, right? Because different humans will have different motivations, underlying motivations. For you, the underlying motivation is like, I really, really want to do a good job. Like, I'm super invested in this. I'm excited about this new opportunity. I want to put my best foot forward. And other people in your orbit at the new job may or may not be in that same place, right? For a variety of reasons that have nothing to do with you, that may be personal, that may have to do with, I mean, who knows?
Right, right, yeah.
But yeah, so part of this curiosity thing is like maybe becoming curious about what motivates people.
Right, yeah.
That's different than what motivates you.
Yeah. Yeah, and I also come into it too knowing that everyone has their own strengths and talents and brings things to the table that are different than others, and highlighting that and, you know,
yes,
honoring that too. So I think that's a strength.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. But yeah, finding out what motivates people.
Yeah. Or like what, and I don't mean motivate to do the right thing the way yet, right? You know what I mean? Like, but that like what, like sort of just understanding why people are acting the way they're acting from an observational standpoint. Mm-hmm. What any other questions for me as you think about looking into next week?
Maybe just from your expertise, maybe just another strategy of starting off on the right foot. Yeah.
Did we discuss whether it was remote or What ended up happening with that? It's not remote. You're going in.
Yes. Not looking forward to that.
5 days.
5 days. Yep. Monday through Friday. Okay. Night.
Wow. So that's going to be a big change for you.
Big change. It's a big change because I'm a hybrid schedule.
Yeah, right now.
That's really, I really love it. But yeah. Oh, well. Got to do what you got to do.
You got to do what you get what you got to do. Yeah, I was going to say, like, modeling like that sort of commitment to being in the office, I think I was asking about it because I was going to encourage you to maybe go in more than what was required. Sort of to like make sure that you're getting a handle on the culture. Other than that, in this shift, I think what's important is to understand, and this is like kind of in the weeds, so it sort of depends on how you are with like, but one of the things I had to get used to when I first became a manager was that a lot of my time was spent reacting to other people, right? So if you're coming from a routine job where you like went in and you had your things to do and you knew what they were, and then you had a meeting and then you came back and then you finished up your work, right? If you're a manager and your door is open, which I would encourage, right? Or whatever you're, you know, wherever you're sitting, people are going to interrupt you. They're going to come and ask you questions. They're going to need you to act and react. I mean, this just happened to me this week with two things. Mm-hmm. Like, I needed to finish up grading and I had all these meetings, but I had two situations pop up that I had to like immediately respond to. And so this is important for you because I think you're going to want to react like immediately, but I don't want you to burn out, because what can happen is if you're used to having a little bit more control over your time, I mean, not over your 9 to 5, but like within that, you have tasks to do, you have meetings to go to, and then you, you know, people to collaborate with, and then you go home. To the extent that like it comes along and you know you have 3 or 4 meetings, and then in the times that you don't have meetings, you'll walk around campus and make sure you understand where things are. That may not be the reality, right? So you may end up having people with immediate issues, maybe not the first week, but like after the first few weeks, people are going to be like, she's not new anymore. I'm going to interrupt her. And so what you kind of have to get used to is like building time in your schedule to just assume you're going to be interrupted.
Yeah, that's smart. Yeah, I'm not used to that.
You're not. Yeah.
I mean,
well,
have plenty of time to do, you know, this will be different, I think.
I think it is going to be different. And so if you have like deadlines of reports you have to turn in, or like reviews for personnel or anything like that, you can't just squeeze those in the times that you don't have meetings because you might have something to react, you need to react to. So the way that I had to handle it, took me a little bit of time because what I would end up doing is then doing that stuff at home at night.
Yeah, no.
And then I got burned out, right? And so to prevent the burnout, you have to build in time for interruptions from your people. And it, I mean, and I'm not saying it's bad on their part. It's probably good that they're asking you and they trust you as a person to go to for help. Right. But on the same token, like, you can't count on owning 100% of your time while you're in the office.
Right.
So, you know, just see what happens over this first month and kind of gauge how much time you're spending. Because what happens is, for every interruption, actually, there have been studies on, I'm such a nerd. For every, like, if you're working on something, like you're writing something and you get interrupted and somebody comes in, even if they're only there for a minute, it throws you off for like 10 or 15 minutes.
Oh,
do you see what I mean? Because it interrupts your train of thought, and then you have to write an email, and then, you know what I mean? Like, because any interruption comes with probably actions that need to happen after them.
Right.
So it's not just the time for the interruption. It's actually handling whatever the issue is.
Right.
Or started on it. And so, I don't know. I think that's an undersold calendar ninja trick.
Yeah, that is a ninja trick.
You know what I mean?
That is a ninja trick.
Yeah, because otherwise you end up pushing things to the evening.
Yeah.
And that's not good.
Definitely that person that will do it at home.
I know you will. I was too. And I just thought it was my job. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I know it's not good, but I don't have to do that now because I don't have that much. I can just finish it. In the past, I mean, when I was teaching, I never stopped working ever.
I know. I mean, that's a whole nother, like, we could have a whole nother session when you're in the thick of this about, like, you know, for next season, you can come back and we'll dig to the, like, some of the, like, well, let's see what happened, you know?
Yeah.
Because, you know, you just don't know. And each office has its own different culture and things like that. But it is one of those things that I've observed over and over again with people I know who went into these kinds of positions, especially after being like having kind of a sort of proscriptive job where you just did things like that were pretty routine. So just look for that and expect it. And I would literally have 2 hours of blank space in my calendar if I could each day. And then, or I would have blank space toward the end of the week. How did I do this? I made myself not over schedule on Thursdays and Fridays so that when I got interrupted on Monday, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays, I could move the like report I needed to write or the thing, you know. But that's really in the weeds and just the way that I handle my calendar. But, you know, that's something that I think is important to think about for yourself. Just that, how can you set yourself up so that you're not working in the evenings to catch up?
Yeah.
Because you'll get burnt out.
Yeah.
And especially with your tendency to kind of want to do it all.
I
think it's going to be really important for you heading into this new position to really pay attention to your body, pay attention to your tiredness, your energy levels, and take care of yourself, whatever that means for you. You know, some people it's exercise, other people it's like music or whatever, you know?
Yeah. That'll be an adjustment too, because I do go to the gym, but now I don't know if I'm going to have time with my commute.
Oh no. You'll have to, that's something you'll have to figure out too, right?
I have to figure out my new gym. And I cook a lot and I just have a lot of free time for self-care now. And now I will not have as much.
How are you going to fit it in?
I'm going to really, that's going to be a adjustment for me of my new one routine. But it's okay. Yeah. I'm so excited about this role and what it means for me that all of that stuff is figure outable. So
yeah, I just let it slide.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. It has to be front and center too.
It really does. It really does. Cause it'll make you better when you're at work.
Right.
You know that.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So
awesome. Well, any other questions for me?
No, thank you.
You feeling
so
good?
Yeah. This is a good boost
going in. Well, will you like tell me next week or the week after and let me know how it's going?
Of course I will.
And that brings us to the end of today's episode of Her Leading Story. Thank you so much for joining me, and a special thanks to my amazing guest who was willing to share her thoughts process with us today. I know that's really vulnerable, and I just want to give her a special shout out for agreeing to appear on the podcast. I hope this coaching session illuminated some of the challenges that you might encounter as you step into or evolve in your leadership. In particular, there were three things that I want to reflect on from this coaching session with my client. One of the first things is this idea that you should walk in the door knowing everything, not the people, but that you should really know what you're doing, right? A lot of times when you step into a leadership role or when you get promoted or when you're starting a new job, you think that you're supposed to walk in the door and know what you're supposed to do. And you think if you don't know that somehow you failed, somehow you're wrong, they've hired the wrong person. And this really comes through when I encourage my client to just go in with questions, make a list of questions. What don't you know? And, you know, definitely, like, she was really worried, I think, about the idea that that might make her look like she didn't know a lot, that she wasn't prepared. But I think the shift here is to really understand what value it brings to be curious and really listen to people, right? To really go in with an open mind and being willing to learn, not coming in with preconceived notions about how things work, but really taking your work seriously enough to go in and ask questions. This, if done correctly, with confidence and with that kind of front and center attitude that you just want to do a good job, is going to make you look interested and serious and wanting to do a good job. It's not going to make you look like you don't know what you're doing. So that was one of the main takeaways from the first part of our conversation that really struck me. Later in the conversation, we got into a bunch of different sort of topics, just not as much in depth, but one of the things that we did talk about was really getting to know your team members, and in particular, the idea that things that are important to or motivate your team members, people that are reporting to you, your colleagues, may not be the same things that you value or that motivate you. And I've seen this happen a lot of time where people just make assumptions that the way they think about anything is the way everybody thinks about things, or the thing that motivates them is what motivates others. But I think one of the keys to being an effective leader is understanding that people are different. And at the risk of like playing my social scientist card, I think it's possible to study human behavior right here and really get into the mode of really understanding what your team members value, what motivates them, and how that might be different from you. And that knowledge can really, really serve you as a leader. Like, what kind of feedback do they need? What is going to get them fired up to get something done? Because if you just apply what you know about yourself to everybody else, it might not work, right? And finally, I talk a little bit with my client about how time is going to feel a little bit different in a managerial role, how she's going to get interrupted more, but how she'll also have a little bit more control over her time in terms of being able to set team meetings or individual meetings with the people reporting to her. But she'll also need to have like kind of an open door for them to be able to walk in whenever they have issues. And in my experience, this requires a little bit of a different sort of orientation to your calendar, right? Where it's not just your project based and you're doing things, you know, like emails as they come in and like accomplishing tasks that are routine that you have been assigned. But it's also taking ownership over your own calendar and really finding what works for you in terms of a routine that keeps you caught up on top of things, but not overworking and burnt out. So those were my main takeaways from today's episode. I hope this sparked some ideas for you on your own journey And again, I hope you sign up for a Voice Your Value call with me at voiceyourvaluecall.com. We have a lot more episodes coming your way, filled with more interviews, more coaching, more insights and tips to support you on your career and leadership journey. Please subscribe and share if you haven't already. Thank you again for tuning in. I'll see you next week.
And that's a wrap on this episode of Her Leading Story. If you love this episode, please help me reach more women by leaving a review wherever you're listening. Thank you so much for being here, and I'll see you next week.